You know, as long as I can remember, I've had a deep appreciation for the seasons and the rhythms of life. I love to watch one season end and the next one arrive. You probably do too. Looking forward to the coming weeks when the leaves turn and we get those cool nights when you can open the windows and it actually makes a difference. Even as a child, I loved to watch the night sky over the course of the year, knowing the constellations that were linked to the various seasons. I anticipated their appearance and knew when their time would come. Something, at least to me, very comforting about the seasons. Seems about the time you start to get weary of one season, the next one comes along. And to me, it sort of gives a sense of order to life. But you know, it's not just me. God himself saw the value of the seasons and life rhythms. So he gave them a strategic place in the very way he designed the universe. Probably the most basic rhythm of all, God established in Genesis 1:16, where we read, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. Day and night is about as basic as it gets. It's part of everyone's daily routine. And all my life, I've loved to watch the sun rise and the sun set, marking the beginning and the ending of the day. And after the great flood in Noah's day, God established a rhythm that would last as long as the earth itself. In Genesis 8:22, it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So the seasons and the days and the nights are something that we can rely on as long as the earth itself endures. And again, I find that comforting and I find it assuring. But there's one life rhythm that was so important in God's eyes that he made it part of the covenant that he established with his people. In Exodus 29, we read these words, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but he rested on the seventh day. So God made observance of the Sabbath a law, establishing it among the people that he called as part of the binding covenant upon them. Now, there are deep theological underpinnings to God's establishment of the Sabbath. We could take a long time on it, but that's not what we're going to do today. There's just really one principle that I want to point out in this concept of the Sabbath that God established, and that is that the Sabbath illustrates God's timeless value in rhythm, especially in the rhythm of work and rest. Work, rest, work, rest. Work for a while, rest for a while. Rest is what we do as part of the work rhythm. Now, if we wait until all the work is done to rest, you'll never really rest because you've probably discovered there's always work to be done. You wouldn't believe how long it took me to figure that out. I thought rest was a reward for completing the work. But it's really not. Rest is part of the cycle of work. Rest must be part of the cycle and the rhythm of work for it to really be effective. God wants us to understand the value of the rhythm. And to do that, we must rest as part of the rhythm. If we miss the rhythm, then we miss the value that God intended by establishing it in the first place. Now, today is an interesting rhythm combination. This isn't deep, but I'll just point it out because not everybody notices these things like I tend to. First of all, it's the first day of the week, right? It's Sunday, and that's usually when we gather, the first day of the week. But also, notice it's the first day of the month. It's the 1st of September. And also, we are now entering a month in which the season will change to autumn, to the fall. So I was thinking, why not take advantage of such a clear reminder of the rhythms of life and think about some things that would also contribute to to life's rhythm. Let's call it Things to Remember in September. It's important. These are basic truths that will take us into the new season, and we can draw upon them as we move forward. And you've already seen, maybe you didn't see, I don't even think I have the number four in there, but we're going to look at four things to remember in September. Will you pray with me as we start? Our Father in heaven, our prayer is the prayer of the psalmist, that you would open our eyes, that we might discover wonderful things out of your word. We pray that you teach us by your word and by your spirit. Help us to understand what it is you'd have us know, and then help us in each individual and unique circumstance to apply the truth that you teach us. We commit our time to you and ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first of the four we're going to look at is this. God's grace is ours, not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are. So we should be thankful. Now, as we've been walking through the book of Romans, we're struck on almost every page by this incredible gift that's the grace of God. It's interesting that grace is given, always extended to those who don't deserve it. In fact, if you deserved it, then it wouldn't be grace, would it? When you work for a week or for a month and you're paid for your work, when you get your paycheck from your employer, do you then say to your employer, "You were so gracious to give me a paycheck"? No, you don't say that. Your paycheck is not grace. Your paycheck is a reward for what you've done. It's work that you've accomplished. It's what you've earned. In fact, I'm almost positive that's why they call it earnings, because you earn it. You do earn it, right? Yeah, well, that's another matter. If you had an accident and you couldn't work for a whole month, and your boss came to you and said, "You know, the company doesn't really have any provision for someone being out of work for a whole month. You know, we can't pay you for being out of work for a whole month. But we took a collection down at the office, and we collected enough to cover your entire pay for one full month." Now, that would be grace. It might even be a miracle, depending on your particular circumstances. But that's grace. You didn't earn that, but you got it anyway. It's free. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that teach that our salvation is by grace. Let me just give you a couple of them. One is Romans 3, 23 and 24. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." And Titus 3, 4, and 5. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Knowing God's grace is ours in spite of the fact that we don't deserve God's grace, and recognizing that God's grace is ours not at all because of who we are, but in spite of who we are, there's only one appropriate response, and that's to be thankful. It's just a part of the rhythm of life. Well, there's a second thing I would suggest that we remember in September, and it's this. Healthy relationships are hard work. So work hard on your relationships. Now, I think it's a reasonable assumption that people want healthy and strong relationships with their family and their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers. But it's often these very same people who either don't realize or forget that healthy relationships don't just happen. They come as a result of hard work. Now, I suppose if we boil down the most common reason that relationships are unhealthy, it would be because of conflict. But ironically, conflict is also what helps build healthy relationships. You see, the problem isn't the conflict itself. The problem is how we handle the conflict. Let me give you four actions that are right out of God's word that are simple and straightforward and clear and practical, a sound course in resolving interpersonal conflict. Here they are. They're so simple, we miss them. Ephesians 4, 2. "Be patient, bearing with one another." Now, many interpersonal issues could be resolved simply by a dose of patience. But we don't have time to be patient, so we hinder the restoration process. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. I cannot believe how people overlook the incredible power of kindness. They just miss it. And it's so easy to be kind, you'd think everybody would be kind. It's so simple. But many people, maybe most people, are too self-absorbed to be kind. Because you see, to be kind, you know what you have to do? You have to be thinking about somebody other than yourself. And we don't do that nearly as often as we should. There's an old saying, people forget what you say, but they never forget how you made them feel. Does that ring true? It does ring true. And one of the best ways to promote a good feeling is by simply being kind. Now, I'm not talking about profound kindness. I'm not talking about buying somebody a Rolls Royce. Not that kind of kindness. I mean simple kindness, easy kindness that anyone can do, and it's totally free, in fact, to do it. A friendly hello, like you mean it. I know people that saying hello is like torture for them. They say, stick me in the eye with a hot poker, but don't make me say hello and act like I mean it. Respect and affirmation. There's something. Kind words that build up. Words of encouragement, words of appreciation, notes of appreciation, a personal favor. Hey, that no one asked you to do. There you go. An apology when you owe one, and gracious forgiveness when you're owed one. And sometimes the quickest way to relational healing is through forgiveness. And forgiveness is often misunderstood. When you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you're sanctioning what they did. It doesn't mean you're approving what they did. It could still be wrong, and you're not saying it isn't wrong. Forgiveness is about not holding it against them. And oftentimes, that will open the door to resolution and healing. So just forgive them. Just forgive them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. The funny thing is that we all know how important it is to us to be encouraged and to be built up. We know that about ourselves, but we're so apt to forget it when it comes to someone else. You know, you can assume that everyone you meet needs encouragement. Just assume that everyone that you meet needs encouragement. And the fact is, there will be rare exceptions, because practically everyone you meet will need encouragement. So the second thing to remember in September is healthy relationships are hard work, so work hard on your relationships. The third thing to remember is this: God gave you a spiritual capacity for service that's uniquely yours. So find out what that capacity is and use it to God's glory. You know, every true believer has a capacity for Christian service that revolves around a combination of qualities that are unique to that person. The capacity for service is a combination of five things: one's spiritual gift, one's individual passion, one's abilities, whether they're natural talents or whether they're acquired and maybe developed over time, one's personality, one's temperament, and their personal life experiences. So when all of these elements come together, these five, in one person, it creates a capacity for service that's unique to them. There's really, quite literally, no one else on the planet that has that capacity, because there's no one else that has all of those qualities or all of those things in combination. So it's unique for each person. For example, I'm a teacher. That's my spiritual gift. But it's very common as a spiritual gift. Lots and lots of people have the gift of teaching. But when you combine that gift with my passion and my abilities and my personality and my personal experiences, then my teaching gift is uniquely mine, just like it would be uniquely yours or whoever else. Because every true believer has a unique combination of gift and passion and abilities and personality and experiences, every true believer has something unique to offer. No one else in the world has what you have to offer because your combination is unique. You have a one-of-a-kind combination that others don't have, so you have a unique potential for contribution that others don't have. If you don't use it, you don't use your capacity, or you don't know what your capacity is, then guess what? Losses are incurred. For example, we lose. We lose because we miss the opportunity for your unique contribution to our lives. If you don't serve, we miss that contribution. The second loser is you, because knowing what your capacity is for service and using it and doing it is one of life's most fulfilling experiences, and you'll miss it. So you'll lose too. And God misses the glory that you would bring him by service in his name. So God gave you a spiritual capacity to serve that's unique to you. It's your unique contribution. So find out what it is and use it for God's glory. And we will all benefit. All of us will benefit. And you know what? You will too. The fourth thing to remember in September is that you'll sin many times this year. So receive God's forgiveness, learn from it, and move on. Now, for some of you, you may find it hard to believe that you're going to sin many times this year, but I'm going to ask you to trust me on this, whether you believe it or not. But just trust me that you're going to sin many times this year. But if you should go an entire year, come all the way back up to September 1st, 2014, and you haven't sinned at all, I want you to come see me. We'll meet back in my office. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take your pulse to see if you maybe actually are dead. We all sin more times than we can count. We will sin more times than we can count in the coming weeks and the coming months. There's no value in pretending otherwise. You're not fooling anybody. Everybody knows that you're a sinner, and they know pretty much when you sin. They're just waiting for you to come clean. They just think you're out of touch. But there's no need to wallow in it either. Admit it, confess it, ask God's forgiveness, and oftentimes there's a person that you need to ask forgiveness of too, and then move on to more productive uses of your time and your energy. Now, many years ago, there was a man who attended Grace Church. I don't even remember his name, but one Sunday after the service, assume I was just greeting at the door, he stopped and he said, you know, I had a dream not too long ago, and I was wondering if I could share it with you. I said, sure, go ahead. So the man said, in his dream, he had died and gone to heaven. And, of course, you know who greeted him there, the mandatory greeter, St. Peter. So he greeted him when he arrived. And so after this man, who was telling me this dream, and Peter had exchanged some pleasantries, Peter admitted this man into heaven. And he said, of course, it was breathtakingly beautiful. But the first thing he notices are these thousands upon thousands of small kind of clock-like devices. And they were stacked on shelves as far as he could see. I mean, there were like thousands, maybe probably millions of these things. And they were like I said, like a clock-like device that had a single hand in the middle. So picture a clock with just one hand, and that's what it looked like. And he noticed that every once in a while, one of these little devices would click. He just click, click, like that, click. And he noticed that the pattern of the clicking was hugely varied. Some of these devices would click like every minute, and then others would click only when fairly long periods of time had intervened. And he saw these things, and he was unbelievably curious. He couldn't stand it, so he turned around and went back and said to Peter, "What are these things?" And Peter said, "Well, these are sin-o-meters." Okay? They're sin-o-meters. And he said, every person, every Christian on the earth has their own sin-o-meter up here. And whenever that person sins, click, and it records the sin right there in heaven. And so the man that's telling me this dream, he says, "Wow, that is so interesting. I wonder if you could show me the sin-o-meter for Pastor Sam at Grace Church down in Lake Katrine." So Peter pauses for a moment and he says, "Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but Pastor Sam's sin-o-meter isn't in this section of heaven anymore. Quite some time ago, a bunch of guys came and they took it away." And I said, "Where are you going with Pastor Sam's sin-o-meter?" And they said, "We want to use it as a fan." So I kind of went, "Yeah, that's really funny. Have a nice day." Fortunately, this man no longer attends Grace Church. Kind of glad I don't remember his name, to be honest with you. So here's the point. Join the club of sinners. You'll be in excellent company. Another thing to remember in September. In fact, 1 John 1:9 has the same reminder. Listen to it. It will sound familiar. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So let's learn to appreciate the rhythms of life. God must believe they're important because he designed them into the very fabric of the universe that he made. Remembering these four will help keep us in rhythm to what God designed. Here they are again. Four of them. God's grace is ours, not because of who we are, but because, or I should say, in spite of who we are. So, we should be thankful. Healthy relationships are hard work. You probably discovered that, right? So work hard on your relationships. God gave you a spiritual capacity for service that's uniquely yours. Nobody else has it. Nobody else will have it. It's uniquely yours because it's a combination of those five things. So use it. Find out what it is if you don't already know. And then when you find out, use it. And when you do, you will serve us. You'll bring a lot of fulfillment to yourself. And God will be glorified. And then lastly, you'll sin many times this year. Trust me. So learn from them, receive God's forgiveness, and then move on. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have established the seasons and the rhythms of life. Throughout your word, we see them over and over again. Some so important that you incorporated them into the very covenant you established with your people. Help us to understand the value of these rhythms and to not fight them, but to embrace them. And we thank you for the reminders that we've had today as we enter a new month, new season, begin a new week. that these precious truths can help us in our desire to cooperate and to flow with the rhythms that you have created. To realize that grace is a free gift, that it's not ours because we have earned it. It's not ours because of who we are. It's rather ours in spite of who we are. And Lord, you have made it abundantly clear as we've lived our lives that relationships are hard. Sometimes they're painful. They can even be devastating. They're hard work. So help us to realize that if our relationships are going to be healthy, then we're going to have to invest in them. And we're going to have to invest a lot of hard work. And to exhibit those qualities that we looked at, like patience and kindness and encouragement and forgiveness. And Lord, you have given us, each of us as believers, a spiritual capacity for service that we know is uniquely ours because no one else has the same combination that we do. Help us to take seriously the call to serve and to serve willingly and faithfully to the building up of your people and to your glory. And we know even now, first day of the week, first day of the month, a new season right around the corner. We know that we will sin many times, even when we are determined not to. Help us to not deceive ourselves and claim that we don't, but to admit it, to confess it, to receive the forgiveness that you freely offer, to make restitution where we need to, and then to move on. Help us remember these things, not only in September, but from now on, that we might cooperate in the rhythms of life that you've designed. Through Christ Jesus, we ask it. Amen.